This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Junks. It's time now to head out to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We say good morning to Ryan Wilson, NFL writer for CBS Sports. He's in Indianapolis covering the combine. What's up, Ryan? How are you?
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
We're doing well. So this is where it really ramps up for you. Maybe you probably had time for a vacation, like after the Super Bowl. Hopefully you took some time off. But now with the combine, free agency starting March 10th, actually fully March 12th, but the tampering period tampering. March 10th, yeah. Then the draft. Like, it's real. This is now it's real for you.
Yeah, I covered the draft too, so I didn't get any time off. It's going to be real until May 3rd or whatever after the draft ends. But I'm in it. Glad to have a job. And actually, I love the draft part of this. So this is actually, you know, every team is undefeated right now. Every fan has hope, and this is sort of where it all starts for fans to try to talk themselves into certain players being good fits, and obviously the quarterbacks, that's where it starts.
You know, one of our local guys, John Kime, who works for ESPN.com, he said that that last year the Commanders, all at one theme that they had is every single draft pick, and I think if not all, but most of their undrafted guys that they signed, they all were interviewed at the Combine, if they were at the Combine. Is that list made available to the media, like who teams interview?
I think there are some hardworking online media folks that actually compile the list. A lot of times what happens here, and it's sort of a media scrum if you see it on television,
yeah,
is that media folks will ask players either off to the side or while they're on the podium, have you talked to so-and-so? And a lot of times, and you'll see the list come out online as we get closer to the draft, and you know, you see everyone's going to talk to the quarterbacks or whatever. But the Dallas Cowboys historically have had a pretty good history in terms of correlation between guys they talk to or guys they bring in for 30 visits and guys they end up taking.
Right.
That's interesting, but there's no sort of, I don't think the league does anything with that.
It's not an official list. Yeah. Gotcha.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So Ryan, the Titans land the number one pick in a quarterback class, and they obviously need a quarterback that's not clear cut like last year. Last year, everybody knew Caleb Williams was going number one. Everybody knew that Jaden Daniels was going to be picked by the Commanders at number two. It's pretty much a gray area for the Titans. Like, what do you see them doing? Do you see them making a trade for a veteran and going elsewhere? Do you see them picking Cam Ward at the top of the draft? There's a lot of different ways that the new Titans GM, Mike Borgonzi, could go with this pick. What do you think the Titans do at number one?
If you're trading for a veteran or trying to acquire a veteran, I think the only one that makes sense in terms of the guys we've been talking about is probably Matthew Stafford. I don't know if Matthew Stafford wants to go to Nashville or play for the Titans or any of that, but just in terms of on-field productivity, he feels like the quickest fix to get you where you want to go because there's a certainty of who Matthew Stafford is. Cam Ward's my QB1, but to your point, if he were in last year's draft class, he's probably QB4 or 5. And that's the concern. You got to get the quarterback right. And you talk about the Commanders. They got almost virtually every pick right last year. And that shows you how you can turn an organization around when you get the quarterback right, the GM and the head coach. And we'll see where the Titans are with the GM and the head coach. But I like Cam Ward. If you're not getting a trading for a veteran, I'm taking Cam Ward there, and you just got to fix everything else. So there's a ton of stuff to fix, offensive line, wide receiver. But if you feel comfortable with someone like Matthew Stafford and you can make that work financially and whatever the compensation has to be, I'm jumping at that, because then you trade out of that pick, get more picks, and then you surround Matthew Stafford with some guys that can help them win in what is, you know, annually a wide open division.
So, Ryan, I'm biased because I had him on my college fantasy team, but I saw that you wrote in your column about Syracuse's quarterback, Kyle McCord. Where is he likely to go? I see that you were banging the drum on Spencer Rattler last year, and Kyle McCord's your new Rattler.
Yeah, I'm a huge Kyle McCord fan. I live in Syracuse, so it was fun to see that team sort of turn things around finally. Mm-hmm. Kyle McCord had a ton to do with that. I talked to Kyle at the Shrine Bowl, and I told him that he's my Spencer Rattler this year, and he didn't know quite what to make of that, whether that was a good thing or not. But he said, look, I learned a lot, and he says, when you play with confidence, you can do things that maybe you can't do otherwise. And I think, he didn't say this, but these are my words, I think being the big fish in the little pond in Syracuse gave him that confidence that he needed. And, you know, he was throwing with anticipation. He's making big throws. He's 6'2", so he was a little bigger than I thought he was going to be. The size isn't an issue, and he's going to interview off the charts. And, you know, I talked to a couple of his teammates while we were there, the Shrine Bowl and even the Senior Bowl, and to a person, they said this guy made it a point the moment he arrived in January the year before to make sure we were all on the same page for what we need to do. And I think he has a chance to be a day two guy. Now, I thought about Spencer last year. We'll see. Mm-hmm. But his wide receiver class is so wide open. There's a huge push for Jackson Dart, and I understand why. But I feel like Kyle McCord's gotten short shrift in a sense, because if you just arrived from Mars and you watch that last game of the regular season, Syracuse versus Miami, Cam Ward versus, you would not know who the number one quarterback was based on the way those two guys played, because they went after each other. And, mm-hmm. and I think that's sort of a testament to who Kyle is.
Ryan, Travis Hunter, does he slip past the top three, which would be Tennessee, Cleveland, Giants? New England's at four. Obviously, New England doesn't need a quarterback. You could argue those other three teams do. I would even throw Cleveland in there. But do you think Travis Hunter slips past the top three and lands with the Patriots at four?
The only way, well, there are obviously a couple ways. I think if teams, one of those three teams like Abdul Carter, the edge rusher out of Penn State,
right,
in terms of being a better fit in Cleveland, that would make some sense if Myles Garrett's moving on. Or if, obviously, Cam Warden and Shedeur Sanders. It's going to be interesting this week because Shador's not throwing. I haven't seen yet if Cam's going to throw or not. Typically, these guys don't throw here now. They'll do it at their pro day. But how teams are going to view Shador, because the physical tools aren't as explosive, if you will, as Cam Ward. His arm isn't as big. He's not going to be as tall. He's not as good an athlete. And that may be in part why he's not throwing, and I understand all that. But, you know, if you're the Giants, are you going to risk that? So I think there's a chance Travis falls. I'll say 35% he falls outside of the top three, but he's a layup. I'm taking that guy and feeling great about it if I need a player like that.
Right.
We're joined by Ryan Wilson, NFL writer for CBS Sports. He's in Indianapolis covering the scouting combine. So this is kind of draft related. What do we make of the Giants hiring Chad Hall as the new assistant quarterbacks coach? He's Matt Stafford's brother-in-law. Now I just feel like Matt Stafford's a lock to get traded to the Giants because his brother-in-law is on the staff. Does that make any sense? Am I a wacky conspiracy theorist? Talk me off the ledge on this one.
No, it's like when your high school buddy, who's a one-star and you're a five-star, gets a scholarship to the same college you're going to. I mean, we can do the math on that. I don't hate it just in terms from a conspiracy theory standpoint, because the Giants have tried and tried and tried to figure out this quarterback situation. They haven't gotten it right. And, you know, at some point you got to get off drafting these guys and maybe you have to trade for someone. And if that's what it takes to get Matthew Stafford there, and it's a big market and all the other stuff that comes to play in New York, it makes all the sense in the world. This week is going to, it feels like, solve a lot in terms of what Matthew Stafford, where he ends up. I'm still not clear why the Rams aren't trying to keep him, but, you know, but we'll find that out as well. But, yeah, whatever it takes to get the quarterback, we've seen the frustration from the ownership in New York. And Matthew Stafford would go a long way in solving at least the quarterback problem. They have some other things to sort through. But if they get their guys healthy, I think they have a chance to at least be competitive. I mean, you're talking about the Commanders and the Eagles in that division. But I say it all the time. You can have 21 Hall of Famers on your roster. If you don't have a quarterback, you're not going to win playoff games.
Ryan, we see teams shying away from taking running backs in the top 10. Is Ashton Jeanty going to break that that trend? Where do you see him going? What team is a good fit? Where do you think he gets selected in the first round?
Dallas is sort of the obvious choice at 12. We'll see if the team before that is interested in him. The thing, and I love Jeanty, and I think he should be his name should be uttered in the same breath as Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs. He's that sort of special.
Wow.
The difference is this, and we'll find out in a couple of days how tall he is. I don't care if he's 5'6", but he very well may be 5'6". That's something that your analytics say you have to be wary about for running back. I don't know why, but if that could affect his draft stock a little bit. I think he's a top 15 guy all day long. The other issue is that this running back class is so incredibly deep that there are going to be guys drafted on day three that are going to be contributors. And I think that may depress his value a little bit, but I do think we're coming back around on the running back. And, you know, someone might say, well, he didn't catch a lot of passes for Boise State this year. Go back and watch 2023. He caught a ton of passes and he has great hands. And I think he's going to be an asset in the pass game and a lot, you know, similar to what Jahmyr Gibbs has been able to do in Detroit.
I don't know where these guys will fall, but Amarian Hampton from Carolina, stud. Trevion Henderson can move. I don't know where he'll fall, but he'll be a contributor. I like LaQuinn Allen from Syracuse. I mean, you're right, man. There's a bunch of guys that you could get on day two or third, fourth, fifth round that are going to be good in the league.
Yeah, and Trevion is a track guy. I think he ran like a 10.8, something crazy.
Man, that kid is so fast.
Yeah, so he can move. And, you know, typically if the running back runs a 4.6, no one cares. But he has the added bonus of being incredibly fast. I think Hampton has a chance to go early on day two. There's been some first-round buzz. We'll see. I don't know how many running backs just think in the first round.
Right.
And LaQuinn Allen, I think he's 20. He may not even be 21 yet. We talked to him at the Senior Bowl, and he's came off a great season. He came out a year early. So you can go down the list. The kid from Virginia Tech, Tootin's another really good running back. Mm-hmm. So if you need something, an offensive lineman or an edge rusher or whatever, round one, you'll find a running back that you'll probably be pretty happy with if you wait till day two or day three.
Talking to Ryan Wilson from CBS Sports, NFL Insiders, covering the Combine, but he also has a podcast called With the First Pick. And you had been doing that with Rick Spielman, who took a job with the Jets. I guess you did a farewell pod with Spielman. A year ago, he was involved in the coaching search here in Washington. Was he a Quinn guy all along? Like, what did you learn kind of afterwards? I guess it was Spielman and Bob Myers trying to shake things up for Josh Harris. What did you learn about Josh Harris and kind of that whole process?
Yeah, no, I think he and Dan may have worked together in the early 2000s in Miami, too. So he had a history with Dan, and Rick has been around so long that he knows everybody. But he liked Dan a lot, and I gave him a hard time about that one picture of Dan Quinn leaving the interview. Remember, he stayed in the line at TSA. I said, Rick, you guys couldn't even put him on the private jet. You just stuck him in line. I had nothing to do with that. But he was a huge Dan fan, and he loved Adam Peters, and he and Adam Peters had a lot of conversations after he was hired, and just sort of Rick's perspective on how you want to run an organization. And Rick didn't pick the coach. I think the way I understand it is he helped Josh find the GM, and then after that, it was sort of Adam and Josh deciding what direction to go. But I remember he was in on the calls, and one of the things he told Adam, he said, you know, you want your coach to be, it's like a marriage. So, you know, you can fall in love with a high school cheerleader, but maybe something more practical and long-term would be in your best interest. And it feels like year one, those two guys knocked it out of the park. And I don't know if it could have gone any better. And I'm sure it was a breath of fresh air for at least the Commanders fans. I know, and we're accustomed to how things had been.
Do you think, and I don't know to revisit it, but I mean, do you think that Ben Johnson was ever their top target?
I think they liked Ben from what I understood. And then Ben, the sense I got was he sort of backed out because he wanted to return to Detroit for one more year. The reasons why weren't clear to me.
Is he the high school cheerleader?
We'll find out, right? So he could vary. We'll see if he and Caleb are sort of the high school, the quarterback and the cheerleader, how that works out. But the other thing, and I always say this, and I talked to Rick about this, is we asked these coordinators who are crushing it as offensive defensive coordinators, and we promote them to jobs they're wholly unequipped to do because it's a completely different job. It's one thing to be an office coordinator. It's another thing to be the CEO of a virtually company of 53 people. And that's the transition that sometimes takes some time. And I think obviously Dan Campbell is a great example of how that works out. And I don't think he was a coordinator ever. Dan Quinn obviously is really good at it. He had the experience of doing it, and he's a really good people person. We'll see how Ben Johnson works in terms of, we know he's smart. Can he relate to these players and get the most out of them?
Mm-hmm. Brian, last question for me. So we kind of talked about the teams that need quarterbacks up at the top, but there are some other teams that certainly need quarterbacks. I mean, Pittsburgh is going to need a quarterback. Maybe they go with Fields. I would doubt it, but they, you know, they're going to need a quarterback. The Jets need a quarterback. The Raiders are drafting at 6, need a quarterback with a new coach. Maybe, you know, they're not high on those, you know, Cam Ward and Sanders. Maybe they go out and get a veteran. But out of those veterans, Fields, Russell Wilson, Cousins, Stafford, Rodgers, can you kind of predict in your own opinion where some of these guys might fall? What's a good fit for them?
And you're right, it's slim pickings because
it really is.
Stafford's number one, and Aaron Rodgers maybe can get behind, but he's 41, and then you got to deal with all the sort of quirkiness that comes with Aaron Rodgers, and is that worth it if you're a young team and trying to build? It didn't work out in New York, obviously. And this is part of the reason I think that whoever lands Matthew Stafford, especially if it's the Titans, then the snowball sort of goes from there. You can trade down if you want to, and then maybe a team like the Raiders have to trade up and get a guy they love. And there's the talk, of course, about the relationship that Tom Brady and Sanders have. I don't know if that's enough to move the needle. You have all the other people in the scouting part of the GM that have to also make that decision. But the Raiders specifically, I think they're at 7. They need a quarterback in the worst way. And last year they picked 13th, so they missed out on the top 6. They went in the top 12. And they got Brock Bowers, which is a grand slam. But if you're the Steelers, you might be in a worse situation because you're 21st. And Russ Wilson's okay. Justin Fields is a little less than okay. And Mike Tomlin wins just enough games to keep them out of position to draft a quarterback, and they're sort of in purgatory. So there's a lot of things that need to get sorted out, and you know, the musical chairs thing is going to be one in which a couple teams are going to be getting the short end of the stick when it comes to whoever the quarterbacks are left that you have to sign and sort of roll with in 2025.
And then if Stafford leaves and goes wherever, the Rams need a quarterback.
Right. Yeah, and that doesn't make sense in what the LA's doing either. I agree. Yeah.
Ryan, great catching up with you. Enjoy the rest of your week in Indy. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, guys.
Yep, that's Ryan Wilson, NFL writer for CBS Sports. He's in Indianapolis covering the Combine. He was on the Rude Guest Hotline. Coming up later, we'll be joined by Barry's Verluga. We'll talk Nats and Caps with him. He's coming on the show at 8:40. Barry's Verluga from the Washington Post will join us coming up in a little over an hour. That's coming up at 8:40. We'll talk Nats and Caps with him. So looking forward to that. Wanted to bring up a digital detox.
I like it.
I don't think I've ever done it.
A break from your smartphone can reboot your mood, EB.
All right, how so?
Researchers studied what happened when people agreed to block the internet from their smartphones for just 2 weeks.
Oh, no way I could do that.
And it turns out,
yeah,
this is a high number.
Yeah.
91% felt better after the break.
Yeah.
This is from a psychologist at the University of Texas at Austin. This is Adrian Ward. Quote, what we found is that people had better mental health,
yeah,
better subjective well-being, and better sustained attention.
Oh, I'm
well,
sure that's true.
Has to be true. Yeah. My question would be, are you taking a break from the internet just on your phone? You know what I mean?
It says block the internet from their smartphones for 2 weeks.
Okay, from your phone, because you would still, like, let's say we were doing our job.
Yeah.
And people took away our phones, mm-hmm, but you still had your laptop.
No, I can't. Listen, we can't do it for our job. It's we can't.
Although
never
we did it for our job for years, not many years,
I
but
really
first 5 or 6 years of our show, we didn't have smartphones.
Yeah, but
we had the internet.
You had to use the internet.
I mean, you had a computer.
You can't do our job without being connected to the internet. It's impossible.
Right.
You got to be connected 24/7.
Correct.
That's just how it is.
No, you're correct. 100%.
Yeah, but the phone element, I think that is a welcome thing. Like I sometimes put away my phone for a couple hours, mm-hmm, and it's refreshing because when you have it, you just get in that habit. I mean, you do it all the time, checking your stocks,
of course,
or you just check things.
It's just so available like all
a minute or two passes, and you check it.
Yeah.
And
I bring it to the bathroom with me.
It's butt entertaining. What's wrong with being entertained? Yeah. I love it.
Like you said, it also hurts your brain in
some
ways.
For you, it's addicting.
I mean, it's entertaining to me.
But I mean,
why are you so hostile about
it? Well, I don't understand the downside to it. I mean,
told you the downside. They've done studies. Well, and it affects your brain.
Well, it doesn't affect him.
Accurate. No, I'm sure it does. I'm sure it affects me and my attention span. There's no question about that. I'm sure I'm more distracted.
But also, like the reels, how long is each reel? 15 seconds? 20 seconds?
I mean, it could depend, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that feeds short attention span. Like, you better entertain me in 10, 12, or 15 seconds,
or you're out.
I'm moving on to the next thing.
Yes.
Yeah, they're designed that way.
I mean,
we have a buddy who's a clinical psychologist, mm-hmm. and one of his specialties is internet addiction.
Yeah.
He deals with a lot of kids who are so addicted, it affects their lives.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, look, that's why tons of school systems are trying to ban phones during school hours.
Well, at my daughter's school, that's the case.
Yeah.
And but you know what they do? They use their iPads and they email.
Yeah.
So they don't text each other. They email each other on their iPads.
Yeah.
So there's always workarounds.
You can't 100% eliminate it, but that's why the school systems are doing it, because they realize how distracting it is and how it affects the mental health of these kids.
Look, when we were early in the show, let's just say the year 2002, I don't think we had cell phones. Maybe we did.
No, we probably did. Early.
We did.
Definitely.
In 2000,
we were in
HFS. I think 2000. Yeah, we'd had.
We had a million
by
then.
We had those Blackberries before.
I remember my first cell phone. It was a. This is so funny. Sprint PCS. Do you remember? Does anybody remember that?
Sure.
It had a pull-out antenna.
Yeah.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
But you didn't have the internet there.
No,
but like, you didn't have the internet there.
I had a cell phone.
You had a cell phone, but
you had a big ass laptop, big brick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but the story is about the cell phone.
Right. Smartphone.
It's not really the same thing, because the cell phone you can pull out while you're driving.
You can
pull out all the time.
If you take away my cell phone, I'm just going to get on my iPad or I'm going to get on my computer.
You seem very hostile about this story.
I'm not hostile. I'm just saying.
You're not?
I'm not. No.
You're not angry?
No.
Hey, are you better at not texting or checking your phone while you're driving? Because I know you used to be pretty bad at that. And I got to be honest, sometimes I can be bad at it too, depending on if someone's texting me and I'm having like a conversation. And now I do a lot of voice texting.
Yeah.
But is voice texting illegal?
Probably.
I would think. Are you handling your phone while you're doing it?
Yeah, I'm speaking into it. But at least I'm looking at the road.
But that's technically against the
law. Yeah, yeah, okay. But anyway,
I don't think I do a ton, but I have my thing up above my steering wheel so that when I ever am looking at my phone, I'm seeing both, the road, too. I'm telling you, it helps. Versus having it in your hand and doing stuff.
I can't tell you how many times I drive by somebody and that MF-er is looking down, driving 75 miles per hour.
The laws have not discouraged people from distracted driving. Trust me, I see it all the time.
I'm better at it than I used to be, but man, it's some of these people, they just don't care. Yeah. That's how addicted they are to it.
I mean, I think I do a decent amount of voice texting, but voice texting is so brutal. It messes up the words
and the spellings.
The punctuation's awful. It puts capital letters everywhere.
I know.
It looks like a run-on sentence.
I agree.
Voice texting sucks.
But that's what you kind of have to do.
I always say voice texting.
I try not to do it, but I'm kind of addicted to it.
So the detox, it takes 2 weeks to get the benefits. That's a long time. See,
it'll never happen.
But I think it'd be.
It'll never happen.
Look, I use it all the time. I can be a distracted driver at times. But if you just made it the old school phone that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because I don't think any of us are willing to give up our phones for emergencies, for communication, if needed, right?
But if you
took away the internet off my phone, it'd probably be a good thing.
Oh, I want the internet on my phone. Right. It's comforting.
It's
comfort food for me.
We're driving to New York. Dina drives half the way. When she's driving, what are we going to talk for 3 hours? I'm going to be on my phone for most of it.
You can be doom scrolling Twitter.
You probably talk for 3 minutes.
I mean, we talk a little bit about the kids or whatever, and then you're on your phone.
Yeah.
When I'm driving, she's doing the same thing. It's just life. Is that great? I think it's important to not be on your phone when you're at the dinner table, when you're out at a restaurant. You know what I mean? Those kinds of things, mm-hmm. I think it's important for sure. But I don't have a problem.
Hey, Jason's on his phone right now.
Don't go to the hotel.
But I'm texting about business. This is about business.
Let me just tell you this.
What business? A bet?
No, it's business.
If you get booked on one of the seasons of White Lotus going forward, don't bring your phone out into the common areas and start talking because people get bitter. Because it's like
I don't get the reference.
It's like a wellness retreat. You're supposed to detox from the internet and your phone. Mm-hmm. And if you break it out at the dinner table, it's distracting to people.
Did you watch episode two?
I watched episode two. Yes,
dude. Arnold Schwarzenegger's son is the horniest guy
ever on that show.
Mega
horny. He's the horniest guy on screen.
He's also creepy because he's commenting on his sister's looks.
But it's funny that you bring him up because when I look at him on screen. When I look at his face, especially like from the nose up, you just see a young Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like he looks a lot like
genetics.
But
genetics are a thing.
Genetics. His dad's mega horny. We know that his dad's mega horny. Yeah. So this infiltrates into his character, probably in his real life too. Let's be honest.
The longest time I'm off my phone
when you're sleeping.
Is for sure when I'm sleeping, obviously. But you know, sometimes I wake up at 1 a.m.
Other than that, probably golfing.
Golfing, but I use my phone to keep. It's actually annoying, but I use it to keep all my stats.
Okay, but other than that, you're not.
But then I'll see a text, and then I'll get tilted in the middle of my round because I saw a text. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Do you take it to go to the bathroom here?
No.
I don't either.
I do.
Cakes tough.
Okay. I do. Of course. I take it, and I go to the urinal.
If you take a whiz.
And I get. I
if I take
my
a whiz,
up,
no.
And I put it right in
but
front of me.
But I might have it in my pocket.
And I do this, and it's very unhygienic.
But Drabby takes it in the shower with him.
I've never done that.
Every night.
Every night, in the shower.
Every day, yeah.
Are you watching a show or what are you doing?
Being entertained.
Being entertained. YouTube, Twitter. Yeah.
How long are your showers?
Sounds like 15, 20 minutes.
15, 20 minutes.
Like, I go in the sauna.
All your phone, you could drop your phone in the deep end of a swimming pool. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
I don't want to chance it.
This Android could go in the 10-foot deep section.
I take my phone into 210-degree sauna every day.
Really?
And
you might be right. I just don't want a chance.
That may be the case with the phones, but I know that when I went to Costa Rica, I took my laptop out and left it out on the porch right near the rainforest. Yep. And you know what it did?
Killed it. Pwned
my computer.
Killed it. Dead.
I kind of envy the days when we didn't have all this stuff. I mean, I was perfectly happy.
Days are over.
If you want to figure out a year, 1999, we didn't have the cell phone, okay? Perfectly happy and content.
Yeah, a lot more boring. I sit there, my wife she makes fun of me, but I'm laughing. I love to just watch reels and just see guys like falling down or some big fatty on a
slapstick humor.
Some big fatty on a diving board doing a double twister or something. I mean, I get a kick out of that stuff.
JP wants to go back to the days of more flaming. distractions.
I'm so entertained by this.
For me, I would rather just watch TV than scroll the internet.
TV guy.
You're a TV guy.
Yeah. He's a TV purist. A TV guy.
I watched White Lotus last night with my wife and had a good time.
I have the TV on. Often, I don't really watch it.
But for JP, TV's replacing phone.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
It's the same
thing.
It's the same thing.
I'll take away your TV for 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. That would be harder. Well.
Yeah.
The only difference is TV's not like every 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm with you. Take away the TV.
You can take away the TV for 2 weeks. Non-football season? No problem.
Okay, that's fine. But the phone is different because they've designed it to make your brain addicted to it. You know, that's why these people from all of these sites, whether it's Facebook or Twitter and others before them, have been before Congress talking about the design and the algorithms and all that stuff. There's science behind it. So there's some science you can disagree that says the detox would benefit you.
Is it going to benefit you if you just replace
it with watching TV? I mean, it's the same thing.
You know what? Tell my wife that. My wife is addicted to Instagram.
Oh, she is.
And addicted to it. She'll sit there for 45 minutes on the couch.
And scroll.
And just scroll and just laugh.
Me too.
Like,
you know what? We should hang out.
I mean,
we can sit there and just laugh together.
She'll laugh like it's the funniest movie in the world, whatever she's watching.
I can't wait to send my kids funny reels.
I haven't laughed in years.
I try, you know, try
no, it's 100%.
Laughing is fun.
I can't do it anymore.
It's good for you.
You can't laugh anymore at anything?
No.
Hold on. Is this a revelation? You don't even laugh on this show?
Nope. I mean, I'll chuckle, but I haven't laughed more than 5 seconds in years.
Why? Since your mom passed? Is that why?
It's a lot of stuff, man. I don't really want to get into why.
We're psychoanalyzing you now. Now you're on the couch,
dude,
baby.
Did you notice this? One thing that is noticeable,
everyone says Jason doesn't smile
in pictures. Now, that's been for decades.
I just can't fake smile, but yeah, that's true.
That's been since the origination of the show.
But I haven't laughed in a long time.
That's really not healthy.
Tell me about it.
Here's my recommendation.
Think I'm not on meds?
I don't know what you're on.
Oh, I am.
Here's my recommendation. If you want
to
laugh.
I can't. Nothing is that funny to me anymore.
Listen to me.
Nothing's funny.
Watch.
I'm not like this movie. It used to be.
If you watch this movie and you don't laugh at least a few times for more than 3 or 4 seconds, then you're a lost cause.
Hmm.
Role Models. Have you ever watched Role Models?
I don't know.
I love that movie.
It's very funny.
Paul Rudd?
It's very funny. You love Paul Rudd.
I actually don't think Jason would be into it.
I was hanging out with Paul Rudd in the swimming pool at Atlantis.
Yeah, my recommendation.
We were talking about the Kansas Jayhawks.
Fire up Role Models.
True story.
I think it came out in 2009, 2010. It's laugh out loud funny. Right.
He's not going to like it because it has
find
to
find my five funny
have to do with
you think it's, well, you're
I can't believe that's your cure. You think McLovin is going to cure Bishop?
You think McLovin's in Role Models?
Whatever.
What are you talking about over there?
Jason's opening up for the first time in years about his severe depression. You're trying to get him to watch Role Models.
I'm trying to give him a solution. But isn't that about cosplay? He's not going to be into that.
I don't even know what cosplay is. I always see that word. What does that mean?
Well, just like the people playing? That dress up. Yes.
Yeah, that's a very small subplot.
I would never dress up. That's what I'll never do. I'll never dress up.
I'm just trying to get the guy out of his doldrums.
I didn't know Lurch doesn't laugh. You don't even laugh at home, ever? Your wife doesn't make you laugh? Nothing? No, kids don't make you laugh?
She makes me bitter sometimes.
What about your kids?
My kids will say, they say something.
When you're drinking.
Well, drink it.
Really. That makes it worse. It's a depressant.
Somber, I would think.
Yeah.
I drink to forget about things. Can we do a bit? Make Jason laugh.
Yes.
Come on.
You know how bad the calls are going to be?
No. That'll make me laugh. We need to do that in studio. We need to
bring guys in.
Bring guys who are
funny. Not the fat comedian.
Not Big John.
Not Big John.
Like real funny people.
You'd have to get in like Rich Voth. Rich Voth.
Oh, yeah. He makes you laugh. He makes you laugh. You do laugh at him.
We'll see on Thursday. Ari Spears will be in studio. I bet you he can make Jason.
Hold on. Ari Spears.
He's been in studio before. He ain't going to make Jason laugh.
Hold on a second. Listen, I like Ari Spears. He ain't going to make Jason laugh.
I think he might.
Hold on. I'm trying to figure
maybe
out.
He's African American. Like he wears this hat.
I thought you meant like Ari Shaffir. I'm getting Ari Spears mixed up. Ari Shaffir.
I like. He ain't gonna make
Ari Shaffir. Big Jew.
Yeah, that is correct.
He's not gonna. No.
Big on mushrooms and gummies.
Matt, here's the thing. I can fake laugh. So if there's someone, not a fake.
I want a real genuine.
Like if Ari Spears says something and you guys all chuckle or laugh like it's funny. I mean, I'll fake it, but deep down, that's not funny.
Right.
All right, hold on. I got to Google this.
Man,
I didn't know that you were that.
Won't laugh or can't laugh.
I didn't know you were that broken.
Hold on, let me see.
Hold on.
A pretty serious affliction.
Hold on.
I've been a different person since my mom died.
Yeah.
Not a lie.
Okay. Why?
And I understand that you guys have all had to deal with the same stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not these guys, but us.
Yeah. No, it's horrible.
It sucks.
But,
it's.
Hold on. I mean, why? What's the question I want to ask Google?
Why won't Jason Bishop laugh?
Why won't a person laugh anymore?
Case is just laughing at the
question. Why do you think I endorse BetterHelp?
Because they pay you.
Yeah. I wish I endorsed them.
No, that's not the reason. I mean, yes, that's the reason, but I would do it. When I talked to the person who was doing this.
All right, hold on. It says.
I told him it was a good fit.
If your nervous system doesn't. Hold on. If your nervous system activation increases over your lifetime, chances are you'll lose your capacity for spontaneous laughter. You've lost your nervous system activation. What does that mean?
I'm sure we know.
I'm just reading myshrink.com.
There's probably a billion different reasons.
Yeah.
All right. I don't laugh anymore. 5 steps to laugh again.
Role Models, number one.
Hey, there was a chuckle from Jason.
Got me that chuckle. All right. Make friends with fun people. None of your friends are fun. I mean, we're fun.
I mean, we're the funnest people. We're the funnest people you know.
I laugh every day.
Lock.
I don't laugh when you laugh.
All right. Two, watch comedy. Do you watch anything funny?
No, he talked about Sicario and Narcos.
I watched the first three episodes of Reacher.
Laugh at yourself. Can you laugh at yourself? I mean, you're a clown.
No.
You can't laugh at yourself. Find humor even in bad situations. No, he can't do that. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, you're lost.
Hopeless.
Dude, I'm almost 55. Yeah. I mean, it's
over. It's over, Johnny.
That's got to stay healthy.
All right, our nation's,
I'm not that worried about not laughing.
Our nation's heroes and Jason apparently need your support. If you have an old car or extra vehicle that you no longer need, donating it to the Purple Heart Foundation can provide critical assistance to vets and their families. Donating a car is easy, too. You'll get free pickup and a tax receipt, and veterans will get the life-saving support that they need. Visit PurpleHeartFoundation.org to donate a car and help our heroes today. We need your support today. That's the PurpleHeartFoundation.org. Go and vote on the Junks Poll of the Day, brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka, the perfect addition to any gathering. Each can is just 100 calories with zero carbonation for easy sipping. Find Surfside at your local bar and a convenient variety. 8-packs at your local liquor stores. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. It's a simple question. Should the NFL ban the tush push right now? 70% say yes.
Wow, people are annoyed by it.
Yes.
I think if you're a Commanders fan, you want it banned. It helps.
Yeah. I mean, you face
your biggest rival.
You face them twice a year. Sure.
Right.
Makes all the sense. That's why the Packers are the ones leading the charge. Yeah. They can't beat the Eagles.
All right, let's bang on a couple of these calls. We've got a couple people who want to make you laugh. I know Big John's not going to make you laugh. He hasn't made me laugh ever.
He's made me laugh, but more in kind of the car crash
he
mentality.
Makes me laugh, yeah. Like when Rom makes me laugh. Like his ass.
Like when
crack
Big John
out.
Passes out like at a junkies event.
Yeah,
that makes me laugh.
Yes.
That's funny.
But him trying to make
his
me laugh.
His jokes are not funny.
They're not funny.
I can tell you
when
that.
When he crashes and burns, it kind of makes me laugh.
Right. I had to explain that to Rom. I was like, Rom, you're not funny.
Right.
But you're a joke. Like, your life is kind of a joke. And like when you fall down,
him
that's
bombing
funny.
Is funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Or your need for attention. Yeah. Let's go to Big John. Big John, go ahead, buddy. Give it your
best
shot.
my nickname for Cakes is Instagram Reels because he's short, pointless, and too loud for the room.
I mean, seriously.
You're laughing. You're laughing. I couldn't even do that.
It's so bad.
I'm laughing just like because it's so bad. I mean, it's not near funny.
I think on paper, maybe it's a decent joke, but
there's not one nerd.
That sound effect was funny.
Yeah.
Valdez's comic timing is funny.
John, you're
be more funny.
Yeah, it's just not funny, man.
Number two, Evie thinking he can do the entertainment pages. The biggest amount of optimism I've seen since Walmart put in a health and beauty section.
I mean, it's just, hey, John, like, it's over.
Hold on. Is John,
it's over. Comedy's like, not
he, does he think he's like Dennis Miller or something?
These are like
I'm trying to, like, conjure it.
Like Jay Leno type jokes.
Yeah, they're like Jay Leno jokes, but not funny.
Like all right. Number third.
No, he keeps going. That's what makes me laugh.
He's relentless.
What makes me laugh is he keeps going.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, nobody likes a quitter.
I went to the Ashburn 7-Eleven the other day, and it was cold out, 6 degrees. I walked in. I almost slipped. I said, watch out for ice. 9 people ran out of the store.
Right.
That needs a rim shot.
That's like an immigrant.
Hey, what do you think? Forget about the jokes, John. What do you think about Jason's plight here emotionally?
Well, I'm... I like Jason. I know him from a little bit ways back, and you know, I like his candor. He's admitting to something, and you know, it was a hard blow. I mean, he's the only guy that thinks about his kids when they were younger. All you other people just, you know, you just watch people fall off of diving boards. He's like crying in the bathtub. So. You know, you got to respect that.
He's worse psychoanalyzing than he is delivering jokes.
Yeah.
I didn't think that was possible.
Somehow, though, it seems I saw a Facebook picture of his. It seems like you're doing more and more gigs.
Well, I mean.
Oh, I hosted this weekend for a real comedy show. Got big laughs. I'll tell you my biggest laugh.
Yeah, give me your best joke. Yeah, best
joke slayed on.
But see, he's all in right. A receptive room. When he calls into the show, to be fair, it's a hostile room.
Well, it's hostile because his track record sucks.
Yeah.
I'll leave with my biggest laugh getter this weekend.
I feel bad.
Let me just say this.
I'm prepared not to laugh.
No, no.
Yeah. I'm prepared to be Jason.
No. I want to laugh. I want it to be funny.
Okay.
I'm just trying. I have an open mind.
I want it to be a mushroom cloud.
I have an open mind.
Jason, I might understand you more now than ever.
Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead, John.
All right. Here we go. I've built it up, but here we go. I was watching TV today. I couldn't decide which reality channel to watch. Should I watch the Homes I Can't Afford Network, the Food I'll Never Eat Network, or the Women on a Yacht I'll Never Meet Network? So I just turned the TV off and kept living my own reality show, Naked and Afraid.
Oh, you got a chuckle.
Oh, you got Bickle.
That brought the house down?
Well, Bickle laughed right away.
I mean, it was barely. That was his closer.
That was his closer.
That was your best one?
That was the biggest laugh of the weekend.
I mean, it did make me laugh picturing Big John naked.
Yeah.
That did kind of make me laugh.
That's a horror film.
We might have another mental problem then in the studio.
Yeah.
Thank you, John.
Bye.
I just think those play on words things, it's just not the same. It doesn't hit like he's, that in 2025.
Sorry, he's butt unfunny.
Yeah.
Okay, I like to picture him at his desk, you know, writing, and then all of a sudden having his eureka moment when he comes up with that.
Well, you like to write zings. Like, I would think that you would maybe find some humor in what he's doing, no?
In what he's doing,
it's just not funny.
It's just whatever he has doesn't hit.
I mean, look, I know nothing about stand-up comedy. His stories are long-winded, and there's no real payoff.
Yeah,
like,
well, some of them were short jokes. I don't know that they were long-winded, but Do you remember that one comedian? Oh shoot, now I'm forgetting his name. Who'd kind of like the wacky hair, Stephen Wright.
Stephen Wright, yeah.
He would have kind of the, but he had like
very
a
dry
persona.
Amazing delivery.
Yeah.
He was a genius.
You know, he might have a goofy joke written on paper.
Big John to Stephen Wright. I mean, Stephen Wright could probably sell out 10,000 seat venues. Big John couldn't sell out
30 years
studio.
Ago.
Would Stephen Wright sell out a venue now in his prime?
Well, I don't think so. Who was the guy that died?
No, I'm saying if he was in his prime now.
Oh, Mitch Hedberg?
Yeah, Mitch Hedberg.
Oh, there's no way you can comp Big John to either of those names.
No. Josh, what's up, buddy?
Hey, fellas. Okay, so I'm working on my PhD in junkieology, and I've noticed that there are three types of segments that get Jason to at least have a deeper chuckle than he normally does. I'm not saying it's like a 10-minute belly laugh.
Okay. Right.
So you guys can put these in your back pocket and come back to these.
Okay.
The first one is when EB talks about how ugly people in Laurel or Dundalk are. And okay. So if you need to go back
does
to
that
one.
Humor you
doesn't
at all?
Look like it right now. He looks angry.
I mean,
I don't. Okay, so,
he does, go no, ahead. He go says ahead. No.
Keep going.
He says no.
The second one is on the rare occasion when somebody makes a weather joke, he actually chuckles at like funny puns about
that
the weather.
That I would believe. He does love weather.
Do you like weather so much that it makes you laugh?
Yeah,
I mean, you have to pull up an example.
They might get a good tornado joke up their sleeve.
So if we mentioned that Big John's nickname is Hurricane,
well,
he might have went for it.
It's rare, but it does happen. The third one, and this I promise you, I've heard it with my own ears, is when EB talks about Cakes' teeny little snossage. I'm going to leave it at that. But that is actually one that like
does that make you laugh?
I don't laugh when I think about anybody's tiny
it's
weenie.
It's very average.
I just don't. You'd have to pull up an example.
Yeah.
Appreciate you being a junkieologist.
Thank you, Josh.
Thank you, Josh. Appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you.
You tried.
You did what you could.
I don't know that we'll ever be successful.
Maybe not. Maybe it's a lost cause.
I think Jason really looks forward to EB's entertainment page.
Is that coming up next?
No. You got to wait an hour for that. It's coming up at 9 o'clock. And don't forget, coming up at 8:40, we will be joined
by
Barry Zwerluga from the Washington Post here on The Fan.